إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, in motivation theory, when we are looking at things like advertising, at motivation of people to do this or that, we talk about the importance of two things. One is the importance of the reality of what is expected. So you need to be motivated towards something. So how real is that thing? What you are aspiring for, so the reality of the goal or the reality of the reward. That is one thing which affects motivation. And the second thing which affects motivation is the likelihood of getting it. So for example, you might say there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but then the end of the rainbow is at the end of the world. So even though the pot of the gold is nice to have, but likelihood of having it is practically zero, so you are not motivated. On the other hand, you might say that I want to motivate you for something which is very easy, but that thing which you are going to get has really no value or significance. You know, for most of us, if somebody says, you know, I'll buy you a tricycle, a little cycle which children ride, how does that motivate you? So you might say, no, but you know, it's a very nice tricycle and it's very nice to look at and whatnot. I can't use it, it's of no use to me, I have no children to give it to, what will I do with it? But say the same thing to a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, I mean, he'll lose sleep over it. If you say, I'm going to give it to him tomorrow morning I'll buy you, he won't sleep the whole night. Because he's looking forward to that thing, he's living it. In motivation theory, sometimes we say, can you taste it? Your life goal, you know, we say, can you taste it? I want to build a house, can you taste it? Obviously, you don't mean it in a literal sense, nobody can taste a house, but taste it meaning, how real is that thing for you, which you are looking forward to? So these two factors, I remind myself and you, are the two factors which are at the root of all motivation, any kind of motivation. How real is it and what is the expectation of getting it? And if there is a deficiency in either of these two, then you are not motivated. So either it's not real or it is real but it's so difficult or so, you know, impossible that there is no sense in even trying, so you don't even try. Now the reason I'm saying this is because this is exactly the issue behind us practicing our religion. We have to ask ourselves this question and say, how real is Akhirah for me? How real is the meeting with Allah for me? It's something to seriously sit and think about. Right, it's easy to listen to this and shake your head and say, yes, you know, very important. That's another sign of hypocrisy, frankly, if you ask me. Because if it is important, then how come you don't do it? That's rubbish, that's lies. So seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question and say, how real is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to me? How real is the meeting with Allah? And what is the expectation of this meeting happening? The ajeeb, in this dunya, whatever it might be, absolutely anything. If you invite me right now and say, please come and have breakfast with me, can I say with absolute, total, complete, undeniable certainty that this invitation can be fulfilled? Can we say this? Although your intention is 100% there, yes, of course I want to invite you right now. I want to take you immediately after this salah, come to my house, have breakfast. Can we say with absolute, complete, total certainty that this will happen? No, you can't say that. And it's not even religion. This is just plain, probability if you work out. There are any number of things that can happen. And they need not be disasters. It's not as if, you know, I have to drop dead or you have to drop, nothing. It can be some very simple things which can happen, which will not enable you to fulfill this intention of yours that we should have breakfast together. Yet we believe in this. I will not have a modicum of doubt in my mind if you say, please come with me now, we'll have breakfast at home. And if you ask me, how sure are you of this? Any normal human being will say, what is the question of sure? Of course I'm sure. Huh? What is there to happen? There's no doubt. Nothing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Jalla Jalaluhu, without any question. What did Allah say? قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah said, say to them that Malak, that you will die. And Malakul Maut has been set upon you. And he will bring you to your Rabb. He will bring your souls to your Rabb. Jalla Jalala. A question I have to ask myself is, how real is this? How much do I really believe this? Alhamdulillah, we are all Muslims, so you will not say I don't believe it. But it's not a question of saying. It is not a question of saying. The time when we have to answer this question, the mouth will be sealed. يَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِ. Mouth will be sealed. So it's not a question of saying. It's a question of real belief which is reflected in our lives and our actions. وَتُكَلِّمُنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The hands will speak and the legs will speak and the ears will speak and the eyes will speak and the body will speak and life will speak and time will speak about what we used to do. How real is that? And how much is it something that we look forward to? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the example that he gave us of how to live this life. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Verily for you in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a good example, is the best example. For whom? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For the one who looks forward to, who yearns for, who wants to meet Allah. This is not a declaration of morbidity or something. It's not a question of saying, you know, I want to die. No. I want to live, alhamdulillah, in the best possible way, in the most enjoyable way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam does not stop you from enjoying your life. Of course not. Alhamdulillah, the more you enjoy your life, the more you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. Islam only says, don't do that enjoyment in a way which is harmful to you, because it doesn't harm Allah anyway. But if you do whatever you are doing, if you do it in a way which is detrimental to yourself, even though you might get some momentary enjoyment, of course you do. But who is harmed? At the end of the day, you are harmed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, for the one who looks forward to the meeting with Allah, wal yawm al akhirah, who looks forward to the day of judgment. Just think about this. This yawm al akhirah is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us against, which is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in Juz Amma, in great detail, and also other places in the Quran, in some very frightening terms. What is the description of the Day of Judgment? Find me one nice description of the Day of Judgment. Oh, it's a beautiful day, nice sunlight. No. Almost every, wallah alam, may Allah correct me if I'm wrong, but every single description of the Day of Judgment which is in the Quran is a description of terrible conditions. The sun will be at this height, you will be drowning in your sweat. How nice is that? Does it sound like a nice thing? Your feet will be stuck to the ground of the Maidan of Harshar until you answer four questions. People will be in great agony with thirst. People will be in great agony with thirst. And there will be no water. And here at least you can die if you are in, you know, that much of thirst. There is no death. So you have to suffer endlessly until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides what to do with you. And all of this before even the mizan has been set up. Now tell me, who will look forward to that day? So if this day is so bad, اذا زلزلت الارض زلزالها الحاقه ما الحاقه القاريه ما القاريه and so on and so on and so on and then yet Allah says yarju Allah wal yawm al akhirah people who look forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala people who look forward to the day of judgment now who will look forward to a day which is described in such terms except the one who knows that all of this applies to somebody else I will be saved from this inshallah may Allah keep us from the tests of that day and keep us among those who are saved because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that also Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there will be people who will be given the shade of the arsh when there is no shade for anybody else he used to make this dua Allahumma azillani tahta arshuk yawma la dhilla illa dhilluk oh Allah give me shade under your arsh on the day when there will be no shade except your shade may Allah give us that for all of us inshallah so who will look forward you only look forward to something which you anticipate with great pleasure even though it might take a lot of effort I want to go to photograph snow leopards with Ismail now obviously it's he's been trying to frighten me and say you have to walk 20 kilometers a day and so on I said don't no problem you make me walk 20 kilometers a day you will carry me back as simple as that so So here is something which is, you know, strenuous and so on and so on. But I can almost taste the snow leopard. You know, if I get a picture of the snow leopard. Because you look forward to that. Even though there may be some difficulty involved. So I'm the life, you know, we have this life, you have to live the life and so on and so forth. And may Allah make this life easy for us and may Allah make our deaths very easy for us and take us in a state of iman and yaqeen, inshallah. But at the same time, you say, well, I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On this day, Allah is going to protect me. And keep me from all the difficulties. And that is the issue is how real is all this? Or is this some fairy tale? We don't call it a fairy tale out of Adam. Alhamdulillah, we should not even call it a fairy tale. I'm just saying, but what is our attitude towards that? Whether you call it a fairy tale or not, you're treating it like a fairy tale. It's like Alice in Wonderland, you know, went down the rabbit hole and then this happened, that happened, that happened. So the question is that how real? And the reason why am I saying why should it be real? Because only if it is real, then we will work for it. Not otherwise. Nobody works for something which is not real. Ah, nice story. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Only if it is real. Why do we go to work every day? Because end of the month salary is real. End of the month the business return is real. Why do these kids study in college? Because end of that, hopefully some job is real. Why do you get married? Because you are looking forward to a happy life. And the fact that for a lot of people this is a fantasy, it doesn't wake you up. Another one bites the dust, you know. And people have this magical thing, oh, I will get married and everything. You have to get married, you have to work for it. Somebody says, you know, what will I see in my istikhara? I said, you will see. What will you see in your zakhara? Whatever you see in your zakhara, at the end of the day, if you are not working in that marriage, if you are not doing something to make that marriage happy, it won't be happy. Believe me, you can see all kinds of dreams in zakhara, nothing will change until you do some work. So the thing is, we do all this because we anticipate something good. Now that is my question to myself. How real is Allah? How real is the meeting with Allah? And I remind myself, it's not a question of saying it with our tongue. We say it. It has to be reflected in our lives. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real, how can you disobey Him? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkam are real, then how can you go against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real and the meeting with Him is real, then how is it that in my life there are things where if I meet Allah with those things, then I am in trouble. How can those things be there? Even though today I have the choice and the ability to clean up my act, to clean up my life. Am I doing it? And if I'm not doing it, then I have to ask myself, how real is Allah and how real is the meeting with Allah? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the meeting with Him real for us and to make Himself real for us and to enable us to mold our lives on that way وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك الله.